Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. And we're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Bible prophecy is a subject that many people are interested in. Television, radio, and the internet are full of messages about Bible prophecy. But there's a lot of confusion and disagreement when it comes to the topic of Bible prophecy. And of course, many people just don't believe in the Bible at all. But the Bible does prophesy of what will come in the near future and beyond. So how well do you understand Bible prophecy? And do you know what the missing dimension in Bible prophecy is? Today, let's begin to look at God's prophetic word by discussing the missing dimension in Bible prophecy. If we're going to really understand Bible prophecy, we need to know what the missing dimension is. Now, the underlying thrust of all Bible prophecy is very positive. Now, many people think of Bible prophecy in sort of a negative light. And to be sure, there are a lot of prophecies that describe correction. And some of that correction is extremely hard. But of course, the correction has to be hard when sins are so deeply ingrained in society like they are today. Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Mr. Gerald Fleury wrote this in Lesson 16 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. You can get this for free at thetrumpet.com and sign up for it and take the course, and I'd recommend that you do that. But Mr. Fleury wrote that there are some very dark prophecies that precede Christ's return. Even those prophecies contain God's hope and love, but men refuse to understand. The dark prophecies are designed by God to teach us that we must have God's character. Man is dangerously incomplete. To understand that, all we have to do is observe what is happening in the world. So we do have to pay attention to what is going on in the world and relate that to Bible prophecy. Christ told us to watch what's going on in the world. We can see that if we look at Matthew 24. And if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at these passages together. Matthew 24 and verse 32, Christ says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh." And verse 33 says, "So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." So Christ is telling us, pay attention to what's happening in the news and pay attention to that news in light of Bible prophecy. We'll look down at verse 37. He says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So Christ goes on to talk about how that generation was sinning in the way they were eating and drinking, they're marrying. They were doing these things the wrong way. They were breaking God's laws, just like they did before the flood came in Noah's day. And then finally in verse 42, Christ says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come." And so that's why Mr. Fleury wrote that we need to watch world events. We need to see what's going on, because that's what Christ said. Watch therefore. Pay attention to what's happening. Pay attention to world events. Pay attention to Bible prophecy. But again, when we're looking at Bible prophecy, we need to understand what the missing dimension is. And we'll reveal that here in just one moment. Mr. Fleury goes on to write that mankind has refused to receive God's direction. That rebellion has produced the evil world in which we live, and that is why man is facing so many bleak prophecies. So when we see the scriptures that prophesy of God's correction, we have to remember that God will correct the sins of mankind. The sins of mankind. Mankind brings correction upon himself because of sin, because of going opposite to God's way that produces happiness. Notice this in Ezekiel 33, We're beginning to get here God's mindset. We're beginning to see how God sees prophecies. And that gets into what that missing dimension in Bible prophecy is. We need to understand God's mindset. Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, here's God's own words. He says, "Say unto them, as I live, says the eternal God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" Now, God doesn't want the Israelite nations to die. And in fact, he wants all nations to live the abundant life, and that abundant life comes from obeying God. God corrects mankind so they will turn to him, and then mankind can be blessed, and we all want those wonderful blessings. The prophecies of correction, I mean, they are a plea from God to turn to him in repentance so that the correction doesn't have to come. Have you thought about that in terms of some of these pretty dire Bible prophecies? If people would turn to God and they'd repent, then that correction wouldn't have to come. God is sending out a warning. He is sending out a warning message. Matthew 17, verses 10 through 11, talk about God sending this message for many years through a very specific office. Matthew 17, verses 10 and 11 say, "And his disciples asked him," talking to Christ, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" And verse 11 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things." And Mr. Fleury writes that God sent an end-time Elijah, Herbert W. Armstrong, to restore all things to his church and proclaim all things to this world for more than 50 years. But most people rejected the message. And today, we proclaim the same message. Generally, men and women rejected. Even God's own church rejected most of that message. And you can read about that in Revelation 3 and verses 14 through 20. God's prophetic message is available. It's been available for years, but most people reject it. Why do they reject it? Well, a big part of it is they don't have this missing dimension in Bible prophecy. They don't have the missing dimension in Bible prophecy. Notice Ezekiel 33, verses 30 through 33. It says, "Also, you son of man, the children of your people still are talking against you," that should read about you, "by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that comes forth from the eternal." Verse 31, "And they come unto you, as the people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness." Verse 32 says, "And lo, you are unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do them not." Verse 33 says, "And when this comes to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them." So think about that for a little bit. I mean, how many people watch the Key of David program, read the Trumpet magazine, visit thetrumpet.com, and listen to the radio programs here on KPCG, Trumpet Radio, and yet don't act on what they hear? It's easy to be one of those people. Are you one of those people? I mean, we can all fall into that attitude if we don't do what God's Word says. Agreeing with something is different than actually doing it. We don't want to deceive ourselves by being hearers of God's word and not doers. All too often, people reject God's prophecies. Why? What is the missing dimension in Bible prophecy? What are people missing? We'll look at that missing dimension very specifically right after this short break. You're listening to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
If the church came into existence as an instrumentality for getting people saved, then by what means did God try to save people prior to Christ's founding of the church? Jesus did not appear until 4,000 years after Adam and the original sin. If God is and has been trying to convert the world, what means did he use during that 4,000 years between Adam and Christ? Few people in the traditional Christian world have ever stopped to even consider these questions. To nearly everyone on earth, the very existence of the church is a great mystery. The biblical facts of the church's origin and its purpose for being are clearly revealed in Herbert W. Armstrong's book, Mystery of the Ages. Request your complimentary copy today. It's offered free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. As we looked at in the first half of today's program, people all too often reject God's prophecies. In many cases, they like to hear them, but they don't do what God says. They don't turn to God. Why is that? Well, there is a missing dimension in Bible prophecy. People love to discuss Bible prophecy, but they reject God's view of his own prophecies. That is the missing dimension in Bible prophecy, God's view of his prophecies. We need God's view of his prophecies. We don't want to just read them and have our own viewpoint on them. We need God's viewpoint. They're God's prophecies, after all, and we need his viewpoint on them. That's the missing dimension in Bible prophecy. Mr. Fleury wrote this: all of the dire prophecies could be changed immediately if we heeded God's message. God allows the evil to continue until we repent, and then man can fulfill his potential in the God family forever. There is tremendous hope in that. And there's tremendous hope in the prophecies, because even if it takes a lot of correction, most people will repent. But we could repent now. We could change now. I mean, think about how fantastic that would be. Think about the bankruptcy that's on the horizon for this nation. I mean, we're in so much debt here in the United States, where we're broadcasting from. Well, what if the people repented and changed and turned to God and stopped stealing and stopped coveting? Would God intervene? Would he heal us? Would he heal the land? Would he heal the finances? Of course he would. Absolutely he would, if we were to turn to him. You can look at any sin, any problem that's out there, which they're all a result of sin, and if as a people we repented and we turned to God, then we wouldn't have those problems anymore. God would heal the land. He'd heal the people. He'd get rid of the problems. He'd solve the problems. And that could happen today if people would turn to God. Obviously, you are just in control of your own life. But you can make that effort. You can repent and turn to God. And every human has some repenting to do. This isn't to point the finger. I mean, every single human needs to look at themselves. We all need to look at ourselves and see where we need to improve. But if we're willing to do that and we have that right attitude, we can begin to really change, and God will solve many, many problems. I recently saw a comment on a news story where someone wrote that they were tired of hearing about a quote-unquote angry God. That's the way they perceived the bad news. They say, well, I'm tired of hearing about this angry God. But really, shouldn't we all be tired of hearing about sinning mankind? It's not God's problem that man sins. It's man's problem, and God wants to save us out of it. God's view of his own prophecies is that it's all good news in the end, once man learns to turn to him. But if we turn to him today, we could avoid all of that correction that's prophesied to come. Let's notice one aspect of God's perspective on his prophecies. We can see this in Leviticus 26 and verse 14. Leviticus 26 and verse 14, God lays out blessings and cursings, blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. And he says, but if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursues you. So these are some pretty dire warnings. Verse 18, he says, and God says, and if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Verse 19, he says, and I will break the pride of your power. That's happened in the United States. There's great power in the U.S., but we haven't had the pride to really use it, not very effectively. So God continues to go on here and just lays it out that if people don't repent and turn to him, then the punishment intensifies. But see, it's in people's hands. It's in people's hands. God doesn't want to have to punish and punish and punish. He, as we read in Ezekiel 33 earlier, he doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants the wicked to turn and obey him and look to him. And every human being has to do that. Everybody has to do that. Turn to God and look to God. Then the punishments don't have to continue. And instead, blessings can explode. I mean, wouldn't you rather be blessed seven times more as opposed to cursed seven times more? I mean, anybody would, of course. And it is really in our hands if we'll obey God. Mr. Armstrong wrote this in The United States and Britain in Prophecy, which is a free book, tremendous book. You need to get that. It's at thetrumpet.com. You can order it and it'd be sent to you for free, or you can download it and read it right there. Mr. Armstrong wrote this: what people do not seem to realize is that sin does bring upon the sinner the consequences of sin, the plagues of suffering. The Bible defines sin as transgression of God's law. You can see that in 1 John 3 and verse 4. And he writes that the law of God is a spiritual law. He says, let's understand this. God's law is the way to peace, happiness, abundant well-being. Going that way is what God supplied to cause real happiness. It's a cause and effect. Mr. Armstrong writes, conversely, then, can we not see that transgressing that way is to cause unhappiness, pain, and suffering, emptiness, heartaches, fears and worries, frustrations? All these evils are caused by transgressing God's law. The sinner is really plagued with these evils he brings on himself. He says, now study again that 21st verse of Leviticus 26. Punishment is correction. To teach us the lesson we have failed to learn by experience, God is going to plague our people sevenfold more than our sins already have plagued us, sevenfold more punishment than we have brought on ourselves. Or as the Authorized Version says, seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins, sevenfold intensity of punishment of correction. So what is God's view of his prophecies? Well, it's the reality that man brings curses upon himself for disobedience and blessings for obedience. Corrective prophecies are warnings about what will happen if we don't repent and turn to God. If we can have God's view of Bible prophecy, then we have that missing dimension. We have to look at these prophecies again from God's perspective. Have God's view of it. And the reason there are prophecies that are quite corrective is because God is trying to get mankind to turn to him. He's not punishing mankind in these prophecies because he's just angry and he wants to get back at mankind. It's to teach mankind that we cannot solve our problems by ourselves, We've tried and it hasn't worked. Maybe the next election cycle, right? Maybe the next time somebody gets voted in, it'll all be solved. I mean, that's sort of the hope people have had over the years. It never gets better. It never does. It might have a little bit of an uptick, and then it, you know, things may improve temporarily at times, but the problems don't get solved. The problems don't get solved. God's teaching us, trying to teach us, trying to reach us and say, if you don't turn to me, look where it ends up in these very, very bleak prophecies. That's a perspective that we need to have, that God wants us to return to him, to turn to him and repent. And if we do that, then he will bless us. Let's look at 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, one last scripture here today. It says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness." So God's made these prophecies, and a person could say, well, it hasn't happened yet. Well, it will, though. It will, unless man changes and turns to God. And then, of course, God can stop some of those things from happening, stop them all from happening. But he says, Peter says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's perspective on his prophecies. That's his viewpoint. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants people to repent and to turn to him so that he can turn then and bless us. That's what he wants us to do, turn to him. That's why he has these prophecies. They're warnings for us about where we're headed if we don't turn back to him. We need God's view of his prophecies. That's the missing dimension in Bible prophecy, God's view of his prophecies. And if we have that view, we realize that correction that is prophesied is because of the sins of mankind. And if we turn to God in repentance, we can avoid all of those prophecies. And God won't bring that suffering upon us if we turn to him in repentance. And even if society as a whole doesn't repent, God promises to protect those who do. That is a promise that God does make in his word. So when we look at Bible prophecy, let's keep God's viewpoint in mind, that missing dimension in Bible prophecy. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Live by Every Word. And you're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.